For years, Americans have known about the violence plaguing Juarez, Mexico, from media coverage and the atrocities committed across our border. But the multi-layered and nuanced reasons for the violence require greater familiarity with the realities confronting Juarez than most news coverage has provided. An important new documentary sheds light on the background and causes of Juarez's plight and how it might be turning around. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Charlie Min has spent the last few years studying and documenting on video the violence and challenges facing the citizens of Juarez, and his new film, The New Juarez, updates developments in 2012 that may explain the dramatic decline in murders in our sister city. And I'm pleased to have writer and director Charlie Min back on the program today. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning to you, Charles.
Congratulations. Your latest film just opened yesterday at Bassett Place, the premier cinemas there. It's called The New Juarez. I wanted to back up a minute, and because I think this is the third in a series of films about what's been happening in Juarez. In 2010, you had 8 murders a day. 2011 was Murder Capital of the World, and now The New Juarez. So what was the impetus for this 2012 film?
Just to show the arc in the story, just to come all the way back to, you know, Juarez used to be a safe city. In 1990, it had 44 murders for the whole year. In 2007, it had 320, which is less than one per day. And that's acceptable for any city of 1.2 million. I don't care where the city is around the world. That's acceptable. And then, of course, the hyperviolence began when the president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, declared war on the drug cartels. So I felt completing my trilogy was an important thing. I made 2 films, and I said, why not go for the trilogy? And then this would be the time to kind of back off from it, because I don't want people to grow tired on me and Juarez. I think this is just enough to get out, because I'm starting to repeat myself, and I don't want to do that. But I think this film that opened yesterday, I would describe it as dangerous and intense.
But the 3 films covering 3 years begins with the height of the murder rate in 2010, where 8 murders a day, which is the title of your first film, which equated to over 3,000 murders in 2010, and it's steadily been declining. Your new film expects there to be between 700 and 800 murders this year. What is fascinating about the film is the number of perspectives on how Juarez has gotten that murder rate down, and whether or not it translates to a safer city and a better environment now. I was fascinated to see that not only do you have a bunch of academics and politicians from the American side in your film, but you had access to the mayor of Juarez, to the police chief of Juarez, which I don't recall seeing the police chief in your previous films. I mean, how did you get people like that in the film?
Well, I have to credit El Diario de El Paso. They were instrumental in all 3 films, actually, especially the latest one. If it wasn't for them, I'm not even sure if I could have released any of these movies, especially the last 2.
They helped you with access and contacts.
Yes. And, you know, the longer you're here, you develop more contacts, more people trust what you're doing, so you have access to more people. And I can't say enough about El Diario. At the end, whenever you give special thanks for this one, this is a special, colossal, big-time thank you, in this case, with El Diario.
The new police chief, which came in a few years ago, is credited by some with forcefully attacking the cartels, with fortifying the police force, with stamping out some corruption in the police force. And he himself points to some of those instances as reason for the decline in murders and the perhaps more safe conditions that are there. It's not exactly safe completely. But
far less dangerous.
Far less dangerous. Yeah. He had come from Tijuana. And his detractors point out that perhaps what we're seeing is simply just the final days of the war and the triumph of the Sinaloa cartel. And that's really the reason why the violence has reduced in Juarez.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of factors, Charles. Julian Laziola Perez, the police chief, is certainly one of them. He's laid down the law in Juarez. A lot of people, although, are challenging the means that he used to get there. But here's a man who has survived 7 assassination attempts on his life between Tijuana and Juarez. He's lowered the murder rate in both of those cities, challenged the cartels, and lived to tell about it. This is, to me, the bravest man in Mexico and the most fascinating figure right now in the country. I can't get over this man. I'm obsessed with what he's doing. I don't know how he's doing all this and staying alive. So we talk about him in detail in this new film. A lot of people believe that Chapo won the war in Juarez, so there's less people to kill, Chapo being the leader of the Sinaloa cartel.
That there's actual reduction in the turf war that was causing a lot of the violence.
Correct, and that's what it is.
Or I that mean, it's just moved to other parts of Mexico.
Yeah, good point. I mean, all 31 states are affected. Right now, Chihuahua is not even number one anymore in terms of murders. Now it's the state of Guerrero. But yeah, it shifted to Michoacan, Tamaulipas, Durango, Coahuila, Nuevo León. The country is ravaged right now. And we have a president-elect coming in a couple of months, Enrique Peña Nieto, from the PRI party, which governed Mexico for 71 years before the PAN took over in 2000. And a lot of people believe that perhaps Peña Nieto has already made a backroom deal with people in Juarez, organized crime. Mm. And I think a big factor that not too many people are talking about is the fact that the army and the federal police are pretty much out of the city. Now, 2 years ago when you went into Juarez, you'd see tanks, you'd see soldiers. You still see that now, but it's very minimal. Mm-hmm. And that's when the hyperviolence began, when Calderon sent in the army and the federal police into Abraham Gonzalez Airport in Juarez. And they murdered the city, in my opinion, along with the cartels, because we were told
rather
that
indiscriminate.
Yeah, we were told that the Juarez and Sinaloa cartel had split. And then when you add that on to the army and the federal police being there, the army, Charles, has lost less than 200 soldiers during this war. The country's lost over 100,000 people. So something's wrong with that math.
One of the most beneficial things, I think, about your film is that for most Americans who occasionally read about what's happening in Juarez over the last few years, you know, in newspapers or see it on TV, is it's such a large, complex backstory that we just are left kind of numb by the huge numbers, by the magnitude of the problem. But you have a lot of people helping to break down kind of what's actually going on underneath these large numbers. And I think that's something that most Americans need and aren't getting through most of the coverage of what's happening in Mexico.
You're right. Like if they do even cover it, you might see a two-minute snippet on the news and then you move on to another story. With my film, you have 90 minutes. You have faces on the victims. You have a comprehensive, in-depth look at really what is a mysterious war. Over 95% of these murders in Mexico are not even investigated. So that leaves three questions. Who exactly is being killed? By who and why? Normally when someone gets murdered, we know why. In Mexico, we're not exactly sure why because there's no investigation.
And you go beyond just the violence to talk about the economic situation there, that the huge amount of youth culture there with few opportunities, the number of youth going into gangs and into violent pursuits. I think the El Paso Times just had an article this last week about, at least in 2010, that teenagers made up almost half of the deaths in Juarez.
Yeah, the victims now are between the ages of 12 and 16, a lot of them, and that's disturbing, and they're referred to as ninis, ni trabaja, ni escuela. So I'm really concerned about the youth in Mexico. They're growing up in a culture of crime. Crime is normalized. Crime is accepted. Crime goes unpunished. The youth, they're idolizing drug lords. They're not idolizing soccer players or singers or actors. They want to be the next Chapo. They see the power. They see the wealth. They see the women. So unfortunately, they're growing up in this climate, and this climate needs to be discredited. They need to be put into classrooms. They need to be put into jobs. And the mayor, Hector Mugia, kept telling me the biggest problem in Juarez is the lack of jobs.
Did at any point making this film, when you're doing the interviews, that you felt unsafe or that you were treading on territory you shouldn't be treading on?
Well, I don't think anyone in Juarez could feel completely safe based on 11,000 murders in the last 4 years plus. But here's my psychology going in there. Right now, the city is averaging around 1 to 2 murders per day. What are the chances of me being the right two out of the 1.2 million? So I'll go with those odds, and if I was one of the two, well, then it was meant to be.
You had some anthropologists in this film from UTEP talking about an interesting perspective, which we also don't think about, which is communities that live through the trauma of the kind of violence that Juarez has seen the last few years and how that leaves a scar or it remains even after apparent safety has returned to neighborhoods, that, you know, how we deal with communities with this psychic trauma. And I thought that was an interesting perspective because it's definitely not ever discussed. It's practically a war zone, what they've been through the last few years.
The mental damage left behind can't be measured. And when you're right, talking about over 11,000 murders, which would be like a sold-out Don Haskins Center for a basketball game, these are life-altering moments.
Yeah, and probably each of those murders is connected to just about every soul in Juarez that's living.
It's devastation left behind. And I think when we look at murders, we tend to look at the crime itself. But what about the devastating aftermath that begins the second a family member is notified about the murder? So A lot of people are left with mental damage, scars, like you said. And a lot of people are skeptical of the recent numbers. Some of them don't believe that the murder rate is down that significantly. And I can't blame them, because for 4 years, the city went through hell. And you just can't push a button and regain people's trust right away.
The New Juarez. What is The New Juarez, the title of your film? For some in the film, it seems like it's a return to the status quo. For others, it seems like maybe a triumph of the approach against the cartels. For others, it's just a going somewhere in the middle that...
Yeah, I guess it's sort of a loose term. I actually thought about putting a question mark after The New Juarez. I really thought about it, but I was confident that it is becoming that. This is a work in progress. You just don't push a button and wipe away 11,000 murders.
And your film ends on a fairly positive note.
I want to leave hope. And I think there is hope. I mean, when you're talking about 3,111 murders in 2010 to roughly 700 to 800 this year, that's a 75% dip. Those numbers don't lie.
Right.
So the New Juarez, well, what does that mean? Well, A, the murder rate being down. I mean, that's a huge component. And then we discuss, well, why is the murder rate down? There has to be a reason why it's gone down 75% in just a matter of 2 years.
And so, a wide range of perspective on that.
Yeah. I mean, well, I just gave, I think, four reasons. Another reason is the economy. The economy, apparently, from what I'm hearing and from people, is that it's up. Jobs are up 30%. Social programs are working. And I think the mayor, Hector Mugia, has done a much better job in his second term than in his first term as mayor.
You've done this trilogy now, sort of the arc of the story in Juarez, and I know you're always going to be on top of that and be interested in what happens over there, but what's your next project?
Probably going to go back to New York at this point to do a film about the Long Island Railroad Massacre. A man walked into a train and shot 25 people, 6 killed, 19 injured, December 1993. It was an iconic crime in New York. It dealt with racism. It dealt with a mockery out of the judicial system. It dealt with gun control. A lot of layers to this tragedy in New York.
It still resonate today. Yeah, violence in America.
Yes.
So turning your lens back to the U.S., that's great. I'm so glad you've got a public screening going on now at Bassett Place Premier Cinemas for your latest film, The New Juarez. Charlie Minn, thank you so much for being on the program today.
You're welcome.
My guest today has been documentary director Charlie Minn. His new film, The New Juarez, opened at Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place yesterday. The New Juarez is the third film in an unofficial trilogy of documentaries by Charlie Minn and joins his 2010 film, 8 Murders a Day, and last year's Murder Capital of the World. The New Juarez collects images and opinions on the current state of our sister city and provides a much wider perspective on the causes and remedies of Juarez's plight. The film is unrated, but you should consider it somewhere around PG-13 for its situations and graphic news footage. A final program note, the Film Salon will screen the Frank Capra political drama Meet John Doe tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Trinity First United Methodist Church, located at 801 North Mesa. The film stars Barbara Stanwyck and Gary Cooper as a down-on-his-luck everyman whose populist appeal is groomed and manipulated by backroom political bosses as Cooper is pressed into running for national office. Admission is free. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.